First scripture reading from Exodus 24, chapter 24, verses 12 through 18. Let us listen to the word of God. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. However, has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. I put the page numbers in the bulletin so you can follow along if you'd like to. Let us listen to the word of God. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know how many of you remember, but there was another time that Jesus said similar words to what we read about this morning in Matthew 17:5. At Jesus' baptism, which is recorded earlier in Matthew 3, Jesus was baptized, and a voice from above said this, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Now, if you look at Matthew 17:5, when Jesus is up on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, they hear God's voice, and it says, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." There's a slight difference. I don't know if you heard it, but it's in the very last bit. It ends with, "Listen to him." That's what we're called to do by God, to listen to Jesus. There's a Bible study by Francis Chan called Basic. It's a video study, and in it, Reverend Chan talks about following and listening to Jesus. "Do you remember when we were kids," he said, "and we would play follow the leader? Do you remember that? You'd play follow the leader. If the leader starts jumping, you would jump. We do whatever the leader does, right? But somewhere along the way, the church follows a different set of rules. The rules to follow Jesus are different than follow the leader. We've convinced ourselves that we don't have to do what he does. Instead, we say we'll do it in our heart." He says this, "Imagine if a kid were on a couch or on a chair saying, yeah, I'm jumping in my heart instead of jumping like the leader tells him. It just doesn't make any sense, does it? Now, our girls, they like to hear stories around the dinner table about things that happened to us when we were kids. And so I've told them these stories before. There was this one time I remember when I didn't want to eat my dinner at the table. So I sat there almost all night at the table until it was finished. And then I had to wash the dishes. So guess what? The next time I finished my dinner. Then there was another time I decided that I didn't want to clean my room like I was told. But that's when my dad came in with a big black trash bag and we didn't have as many toys to clean up the next time. I discovered I better listen to my dad, whether I wanted to or not. Reverend Francis Chan quips that if I wanted to sound like the church, at least sometimes the church sounds like this, instead of eating dinner or cleaning my room, I would have said a couple hours after, "Dad, I memorized what you said. Go clean your room." Or maybe I would say, I can say, "Go clean your room" in Greek. Or, "My friends and I have decided that we'll have a study every week to figure out what it would look like if I cleaned my room." It wouldn't fly. I just needed to follow the directions, to listen and eat my dinner and to clean my room, like my dad said. So why do we think it works with Jesus? Why does the church do this? It seems like we prefer to do these kinds of things rather than doing what Jesus tells us to go and do. It seems like we don't listen very well. In today's reading, the disciples are told by God from the mountain to listen to Jesus. We hear this story almost every year. In the verse right before, Peter has a plan. He, along with two other disciples, they witness Christ's transfiguration. When he sees Moses and Elijah, the literal representation of the laws and the prophets, Peter's plan is to erect a building, a dwelling place, to commemorate this miraculous event, this miraculous occasion. That's his plan. And he reveals his plan. A cloud envelops him when he does. And they hear God's voice telling them to listen to Jesus. When we hear this story, we recognize that Peter's a lot like us. He has a plan, an agenda for Jesus. He's going to build a building so people can come and worship God. But much like Peter, we can easily forget that we're not in charge. It's not Peter's way. It's not our way. According to Scripture and according to God's voice on this mountaintop, Jesus is the way, and we better listen. Now, Jesus' way is far from easy. It's not always comfortable. True discipleship means we go against the grain oftentimes. We lift up the lowly and the hungry. We take up the cross. I would imagine that parts of the reason the church, which we're part of, prefers to follow Jesus in our hearts. That's why we do it. So the reality is the church, much like the disciples, aren't always good at listening. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something majestic about the mountains. As a kid, I loved visiting my grandparents who lived in the Adirondacks. In my first call, we lived in Cody, Wyoming, the east gate of Yellowstone. We could see the Rocky Mountains from our living room. We most recently lived in Knoxville, not too far from the Smokies. And now, today, there's not a mountain in sight. There's a few hills in Jacksonville, like at ISD next to the football field. There's a slight incline. I hope we find out some good sledding hills around for the girls. But there's other things than the mountains that are majestic around here. If you ever go to the country, there are majestic things all around us. Even in a downtown, bustling area, there are majestic things surrounding us. Doesn't matter where we are, majestic things are around us. Now, there were many times when our family would escape to the mountains to get away from everything. We would follow the road along a babbling brook or have a picnic in the mountains. And similarly, the Bible has a lot of majestic moments in the mountains. Moses receives the Ten Commandments and transfigures on Mount Sinai. Elijah encounters God on a mountain. And today, Peter, James, and John have a majestic moment. Can you imagine what it would have been like up on that mountain with Jesus? So today, right before we start this Lenten journey, on Wednesday, before the journey to the cross, we get a glimpse up here on the mountaintop to see who Jesus really is. We, along with Peter, James, and John, discover that Jesus isn't a man like Moses and Elijah. In the Greek, the word is metamorphothe. Jesus on this mountain metamorphoses into the divine. He changes. He transfigures. Jesus' whole body, not just his face, exudes the glory as bright as the sun that radiates even through his clothing. And then God's voice from heaven tells us who he is. Jesus is the Son of God. Listen to him. And not only do the disciples see that Jesus changes into the divine on this mountain, but they also hear that he is the divine, and we are to listen to him. So today, while we're up on the mountain, looking ahead toward our Lenten journey, we're all called to do one thing, to listen to Jesus. It certainly sounds simple, but the disciples, the church, you and me somehow don't always do it. For these 40 days, we're called to listen and to obey. And if Jesus asks us to do something, we better listen and do it. Now, the rub is what Jesus calls us to do. And Jesus never tries to spin the truth, does he? He's clear that following him isn't a bed of roses. We know what we're getting into. Jesus tells us his call for our lives isn't a life of luxury. People are going to hate us for following him. Even our family might turn against us. True discipleship means we must follow the leader and listen, and we might end up crucified. It's certainly intense and troubling and hard to hear those words. Now, after all this, the metamorphothe, the enveloping cloud, the hearing of God's voice, Peter, James, and John fall to the ground and are overcome by fear. They're absolutely frightened. It's a bit too much for them to take in. Listening and following Christ isn't going to be easy, and this is powerful. And I bet some of us here might be feeling the same way that they do. However, what happens next in the story is significant. Jesus touches them. He touches them with the same hands that heals the sick, the same hands that cure the blind and breaks bread. He touches them with the same hands that are pierced on the cross. Jesus touches them and says, "Get up and do not be afraid." We might be scared out of our minds about what Jesus calls us to do, yet we too are reassured that when we listen and follow him, Jesus touches each one of us too with those same hands, and he tells us to get up and do not be afraid. Jesus would never ask us to do anything he's not willing to do himself. We don't have to follow him on our own. We don't have to carry the weight of a cross by ourselves. And our challenge as we're up here on the mountain today, looking ahead, is to listen to Jesus and to follow what he tells us. And if we're afraid along the way, Jesus touches us with the same hands he touched the disciples, the one that healed, the one that breaks bread, the ones that were pierced, and he tells us, get up and do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.